Gracious God, you have given us all that we have. You have made us who we are. I ask that you take these words that have just been read and open us to them, that we might truly understand them, that we have heard them. And then anything I might say now be based on these and not on my own thoughts, and that they be pleasing to you in all that we do. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Today's a weird day because it's Memorial Sunday. And we just said the Pledge of Allegiance, and for some people that's just plain anathema. We can't do that. And I didn't move it. You know, we always had the flag in the church. And I have said most of my entire life that an American flag has a place in the church until the government starts attacking us so that we no longer have our freedom and that flag no longer stands for what it's supposed to stand for. In which case, I'll throw it out the door myself. Till then, yeah, we honor that flag and for what it stands for. Because unlike the Jehovah's Witnesses, who will not say the Pledge of Allegiance because they believe that by doing so, you put the country ahead of God, which isn't true. God is always first. Family should always be second. Country can go down to be third. But this is just a rag, right? Just a piece of cloth. And some people do take it to extremes. Do you remember back when we were kids, they would say, if a flag touched the ground, you had to burn it? That is kind of silly. How many times has a flag gone into battle and comes out torn up and stepped on and torn up to be used as bandages and everything else? If you think about what I'm saying here, too, in terms of the Bible. Flags get dirty. So what? Flags get ripped. You know, we have one that flies 24/7 in our house. You know how many times you have frayed edges on here? When it rips to about here, we replace it. I knew a guy once who used to say the Bible should be the dirtiest book in the house. I mean, it got read and it got written and then you'd occasionally accidentally drop it on the floor or whatever. Flags and Bibles, you're fine if they get dirty if it's not purposeful. And I agree that these people who burn flags have a perfect right to do so. Part of freedom of speech. I think it's wrong to do that, but they have a right to do so. I don't like it, but they have a right to do so. I'm not going to do it, except how many flags we burnt in the last year or so? A couple dozen? We burn flags. We used to get people who would drop them off in our mailbox, and we have a fire pit out in the yard. And we burn them. There's two proper ways, quote, proper, to dispose of a flag. You burn it, or you bury it. Guess what you do with Bibles? You burn them, or you bury them. How many Bibles did we burn from here? We had a bunch of Bibles here that were essentially destroyed by the floods. You know, they were so damaged in terms of swollen pages, they were useless. Burned them. When we were with the church in Punta Gorda, we were in cleaning out the garage, and we came across not quite a coffee table Bible, but a big family Bible. It was pretty old, but nobody claimed it, and it was in really bad condition. It was, yeah, I wouldn't give it to Bob. I said, here, Bob, here's a Bible for you. It was just, you know, rotten. What were we going to do with it? We buried it. In the memorial garden. And they planted a tree over it. Right? Did we plant a tree over it? Or was it, yeah, plant something over it. Respect. Today, we respect Memorial Day. One of the sad things about today is that when you talk about Memorial Day, automatically people think about World War II. They forget about all the other wars because it was the big one, right? How about everything that happened beforehand? And we forget about World War I, the Civil War, Revolution, Spanish-American War, and we forget about Korea.
Vietnam. Remember Vietnam?
We were talking yesterday, Andrew's reading a book that it's not about Nam, is it? Okay, she's reading a book about a nurse that was in Nam about that time period. She says it bothers her because it brings back the memories. Y'all remember the 45,612. Next day, 45,627. The counter on the news. We all know people who were either there or just missed it, like me. Bad memories come back from that when you see the wall. Look at the front of your bulletin. No, right now. Go look at the front of your bulletin. It's got to be one of the weirdest, and I said to Andrew, that's like one of the weirdest bulletin covers I've ever designed. What you know what the cover is, right? What the picture is? What is it? Okay, have you ever seen it that way before? Yeah, but I mean, have you ever seen a picture of it that way before? The answer is probably no. So I took that picture. It's the back front corner of the memorial. I walked all the way around it and took pictures of it from every side that you don't see. You always see it from the front, or quote, the front side, the long side, where you see, you can kind of see all the face and everything. This is like an unknown side. And the quote I put on there, only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, one died for your freedom. It says unknown because it isn't known who said that. At least I couldn't find it. Every time I Googled the quote, it came up author unknown. But here we have the seventh Sunday after Easter. With a war memorial. And then service of the word and sacrament. It's just kind of a weird juxtaposition of things. But that quote is essentially true. There have been individuals who have chosen to die to save other people. You know, every time like a child goes missing, especially in inclement weather. Here's a lot up north in the wintertime. You have 85 people show up to go searching for them. And three or four of them might die looking for a kid out of altruism. Those people are heroes. I kind of laugh every time I hear a news story. When brave football team heroically pulls man out of burning car. Okay, you got 20 high school kids, and they pull one guy out of a car wreck. So what? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? If it was one guy who did it, maybe, but 20 guys get the credit for pulling one guy out of a car? Are they all heroes? I don't know. Are they? Is the guy who makes breakfast for the soldiers, is he a hero just as much as the guys who go up on the front line? Yeah. Not the guy in the cook tent, or the guy digging the trains. The guys up front can't fight. But the 19 guys standing around saying, yeah, go get him, Billy, go get him. Are they as much of a hero as the guy who climbs in the window to get the guy out of the car? No. People have forgotten. And this is where it gets back. Our scripture this morning. People have forgotten the truth in the word. They've forgotten what Jesus is talking about here. the passage that I read to you from John this morning is the middle of a conversation. And it's not a conversation where Jesus is teaching his disciples. This is a conversation, and if we were having this conversation, we would call it prayer. This is a conversation between Jesus and God the Father. Jesus is talking to God about what God has done and what Jesus has done with what God has done. And Jesus is talking about his upcoming departure. If you recall last week, I mentioned that that scripture was part of what's called the farewell discourses. This is another part of it. He's talking about what's going to happen to his disciples when he leaves, because he's concerned about them. If you run a company, say you have 100 employees, and you retire, or you get sick and you can't run the company anymore, and you're a good guy or good gal, and you care about the people who work for you, you're going to be concerned about what's going to happen with that company, not just because of your legacy, but because you care about the people. So you have to find somebody to take over for you who does goodly in running it. You can't just grab anybody and promote them. You got to find somebody. And so Jesus is concerned about these folks. He knows that hard times are coming. And he knows that the hard times are coming because of himself. Jesus sets up these guys not for failure, but for difficulty. Jesus says he doesn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus is setting these guys up for problems. You ever done something? Anything that you know is right, but you know it's going to cause problems for other people, not for yourself. We're always doing stuff, I hope, that you know is right, that you know is going to cause you flack. Many, many years ago, I've learned that the more I catch crap for something I'm doing that I know is right, the more determined I am to do it, because I know that someone's getting in my way because I'm doing the right thing. But for me to set something up, it's going to cause dot problems. Not me, but it's going to cause dot problems. That's going to bother me. And that's what Jesus is doing. And if I set up dot for difficulties for the greater good, well, it still doesn't make it any easier. And it is. It's one thing to cause yourself grief, but somebody else to intentionally do something. That's what Jesus did. And on top of that, just before this little eavesdrop piece of conversation, Jesus says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because of it. Jesus knows he sets them up. They don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. Jesus knows he set him up. We've been set up if we believe him. Because we don't belong to the world. You ever seen the movie Michael? It's a fun movie. It's theologically horrible. But there's a song in there that goes something like, I'm not going to sing it, that this world is not my home. It's a funny movie. He's got John Revolting in it, and John Travolta, and Edith Bunker. What's her name? Thank you. She's in it, and John Hurt. It's a good movie. It's theologically horrible, but this song, it says, you know, heaven is my home, this world's not my home, and that's exactly what Jesus is telling you. And then he says to God, I'm not asking you to take him out of the world to make him safe, but protect them. They don't belong here. They're going to have all kinds of troubles, and protect them. But don't take the troubles away. That kind of implies that God could take us out of the world like he did with Elijah. And Elijah was taken up in a fiery chariot so that he was safe. Same thing with Enoch. God took him out of the world. He was safe. Wouldn't it be nice to be taken out of the world and not have to deal with all the problems we deal with every single day? Even the little ones? But Jesus wants us in the world, being protected so we can do his work. Because it's necessary for the plan. That's a big old quotated capital P plan. That's been in place since before the foundation of the world. It's God's ultimate plan for humanity, and it comes completely out of God's love for us. Not the garbage that we have to deal with, but the end result. You know the expression, anything you can get free is exactly worth what you paid for it? Well, sometimes that isn't quite true. I mean, that desk over there we got free, that's worth a lot more than we paid for it. Sometimes you score something good that way, but you have to struggle for things that are good. And Jesus equipped his disciples. He taught them all they needed to know. Not everything, but all they needed to know. And the Spirit's coming. We know this from before. The Spirit's coming to give them what they need along the way. Jesus gave them the truth. Again, another movie. A Few Good Men. Remember that one? You see that one with Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. Well, guess what? We can handle the truth because it's the truth of God. It's the truth Jesus gave us. Because as Christians, we've met the truth. We know the truth. And the truth is not merely something I tell you. Bob, you know what? You have a blue shirt on. I got blue pants on. Look at that. We match. That is the truth. It's a true statement. Andrea, you got dark blue pants on and a dark blue jacket. Look at that. That's the truth. Bob, you're wearing a white shirt, or maybe it's off-white shirt, but it's close enough. It's the truth. True statements, but in the ancient culture, truth was more than just a simple statement of fact like that. It was reality. It was all-encompassing. And Jesus presented himself to his followers as the ultimate reality. How did creation come to be? Go back to Genesis. And then go back to the very beginning of John. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus is the ultimate truth. And this is given to his disciples, including us. Jesus was, for them, the real deal. He still is, for us, the real deal. And he always will be the real deal. Him and his glory, which we also share. Can't you see how glorified I look? I know I'm a flag today. But I'm not really glorifying the flag. It's just a remembrance. Because again, we remember those who've died, whether in battle or from causes of that, for people who've served. And we remember people who were never in the military but serve in the army of God. And there's a lot of us. And I don't think you have to have died to be thought about and receive the glory of God. What does glory mean? It means opinion. The word is doxa in Greek. And we get the word doxology from it. And that is doxa and logos, which means words of glory. Words of opinion. Literally what the word doxology means. Glory is opinion, but it's always good opinion in its context. It's like, hey, Dean, I'm going to criticize you. He's going to expect me to say something negative. Dean, you did a good job yesterday. No, but it's criticism. We forget that criticism is both positive and negative. The word doxa for glory is opinion, but it's always good opinion. And it's always directed as praising God. So we have this ability. We are filled with this glory to praise God because we know the truth. And when we do that, we are sanctified. We are on the road to sanctification. The Methodists had this great understanding. We all do, but they take it to the max. And that is, we have justification and sanctification. When you say, Jesus Christ is Lord, I believe, you are immediately regenerated. You are immediately justified. You are immediately saved. Immediately justified. Boom. One-time event. From that point on, in the rest of your life, you are being sanctified. You never get there. You are never completely sanctified till you're dead. Methodists really like that. They work on that a lot. They are always working on sanctification. But it is God who sanctifies you. Again, the Greek word is hagios. And it translates as holy. And what it means is set apart. We talk about communion. And I say, take these elements and set them apart from the mundane to the sacred, from something normal to something special. Nothing changes. I mean, they don't miraculously turn into something else. But they're set apart for a use. Especially in the past, many people had Sunday go to meeting clothes. And the only time they wore them Sunday go to meeting clothes, and yes, I said them on purpose. The only time they wore them Sunday go to meeting clothes was on Sunday go to meeting day. Where in reality, you can go wearing anything as long as you do it respectfully. It's set apart. Jesus sanctifies. Jesus sets us apart by giving us the truth and the glory. Purifying us, consecrating us, making us like Him, making us like the Lord, so that we are hallowed. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy, set apart. God is set apart from everything, because there's nothing like God, no one like God. We are set apart from the world, because that's what Jesus has done. The more we follow Jesus, the more set apart we become, the more difficulties we will run into, the more holy we will get, the more glory we will receive, not in the eyes of people, not like the Beatles. Y'all remember the Beatles? Got one. We all remember, you know, Rolling Stones. Not that kind of glory in the eyes of people, but the glory that only God gives from the truth that is in Jesus that sets us apart from the world with God's protection. Know that and live that and have a horribly rough life. Embrace it. Amen. Let us confess our faith in this God that gives us all the above.